Senators wrap up business today and begin their summer recess. Of course, it won't be a vacation for those facing re-election. November's midterms may be rough for some incumbents who would normally be safe bets on election night. The first test comes on Tuesday, when Democrat Joe Lieberman faces a strong challenge in Connecticut. The latest poll shows Lieberman trailing challenger Ned Lamont by double digits. And there are other Senate races and primaries that could determine control of Congress this fall. For some analysis, we turn to NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson and political editor Ken Rudin. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning.
Why don't we start with that Connecticut primary? Is Joe Lieberman in any serious danger of being defeated?
Yes, I think it would be fair to say. He has a very, very tough challenge. This race has really roiled the Democratic Party. He's got an anti-war candidate running against him. This is going to be a test of the strength of the anti-war sentiment in the party's base. And it's possible he could lose. Now, in the last couple of weeks, he's really stepped up his efforts. He's brought in some pretty powerful surrogates like Bill Clinton to campaign for him. The question is, does that matter at this point?
I mean, the point that Mara is making is exactly right. The anger in the Democratic Party on the war, there is no better race. It's like Eugene McCarthy versus Lyndon Johnson. Talk about a collision between two ideologies. And it's not that Lieberman is fighting a pro-war campaign, but there's so much anger about him. The fact that he stood by his vote on the war and stood by the president, President Bush, far longer than most Democrats. As a matter of fact, a lot of Democrats feel that he's defended the president and criticized Democrats when he shouldn't have.
Now, there is at least one other Senate incumbent who is potentially vulnerable to a primary challenge just this year, and that's Rhode Island's Lincoln Chafee. Let's talk about him and any other vulnerable candidates.
Well, Link Chafee is a very moderate, you could even say he's a liberal Republican in a blue state, Rhode Island, but he's got a challenge. In this case, he's got a conservative Republican, Steve Laffey, who's running against him in a primary. And I think it would be fair to say that the body language of the Chafee camp is not confident, even though the public polls have shown that he has a lead. But there, you know, this is a Republican senator who did not even vote for George Bush's reelection. He wrote in the name of his father.
Not only did he not vote for President Bush, he also was the only Republican senator to vote against the Alito Supreme Court decision. He voted against all tax cuts. What's different about Rhode Island than Connecticut is no matter who wins in Connecticut, either Lieberman or Lamont, the Democrats will hold on to the seat. What's fascinating and crucial about the September 12th primary in Rhode Island is that if Lincoln Chafee loses, it's almost a guaranteed pickup for the Democratic Party in November. National Republicans really want Chafee to win because if he could win the primary, they think he could hold on to the seat in November, and Laffey can't.
In Rhode Island, though, is the White House intervening at all in order
yes,
to not lose a
Chafee.
Republican seat?
Absolutely. They have backed the most iconoclastic Republican in the Senate. This Link Chafee is not a friend of theirs on many, many issues. But yes, they have really given him money, support. They think he is the best chance in a general election, as Ken said, to hold that seat in a blue state.
Now, one race that doesn't seem tight at all is in Florida, where challenger Catherine Harris is having Democrat Bill Nelson.
The latest piece of Catherine Harris news, and of course there seems to be one of these almost every month, is it came to light that there was a letter written on May 7th from the Florida Republican Party to Catherine Harris saying she wouldn't win and the party was not going to support her. Now, she went ahead and filed anyway, but it just is another example of how much the Republican Party in Florida has distanced itself from Catherine Harris's bid to unseat what should have been a vulnerable Democratic incumbent, Bill Nelson, but now, of course, looks very safe. I think that Jeb Bush, the governor there, has said on many occasions he doesn't think she can win. He wished she would have dropped out. They worked very hard to find somebody else to run, but they failed.
What's interesting about Catherine Harris is that you'd think that the Republican base would love her. She was the one who, after all, rescued the Bush campaign as Secretary of State of Florida during the recount in November of 2000. She was part of the organization. She, along with Governor Jeb Bush, that basically declared George Bush the winner and thus the president of the United States.
Given all of this, what are the chances of the Democrats taking over the Senate?
Well, the Democrats need 6 net seats to pick up, and that's a high number in the Senate. But there are a number of races that seem to be trending in their direction. The number one Senate race in the country is in Pennsylvania, where Rick Santorum, who is The Republican incumbent, he's the number three in the Senate leadership, has been trailing his Democratic opponent, Bob Casey Jr., for a very long time. And I think the expectation was that by now the polls would have started to close because Rick Santorum is a very aggressive and able campaigner, but they haven't. I think Casey still has a double-digit lead.
Very few senators in the history of the Senate have come back from double-digit leads with just 2 or 3 months to go, and it's a real tall order for Rick Santorum.
There are other states where Republican incumbents are in trouble. Mike DeWine, who's the Republican incumbent senator in Ohio, he is getting a challenge from a Democrat, Sherrod Brown.
Conrad Burns in Montana. Conrad Burns took more money from Jack Abramoff than any other member of Congress. And we talk about the culture of corruption, the Republican culture of corruption. Whether that plays as a national issue or not, it may very well play in Montana this year.
So what about Democrats? Are there any endangered Democrats?
Well, I would say probably the number one Democratic incumbent who's vulnerable is Maria Cantwell in Washington, although the latest polls show that she still has a lead over her opponent. Now, there is another incumbent who's a brand new incumbent, Bob Menendez in New Jersey. He's only been in there a couple of months.
Right. Appointed by John Corzine, the governor, who's a very unpopular governor. Republicans haven't won a Senate race in New Jersey since 1972, and the numbers are still against the Republicans. But Menendez, under the sponsorship of John Corzine, might be in some trouble. Republicans are hoping so much for Washington State and New Jersey to blunt losses elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that the Republicans are prepared to lose seats. The big question is, can the Democrats pick up a net six to actually change control?
So, Ken, Mara, predictions. Do the Democrats take the Senate?
I hate making predictions, but I would say they'll come very close but not get six.
Let me point out that something I say over and over again is that 3 weeks before the Iowa caucuses in 2004, Howard Dean had a double-digit lead, and he wound up finishing third. So here we are predicting 3 months in advance, let alone 3 weeks. But having said that, I agree. I think the Democrats clearly pick up seats, but I think the Democrats everything has to fall in line for them. They can do it, but I don't think they do. I think they come just short. I think they have a better chance to win the House than they do the Senate.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson, and political editor, Ken Rudin. If you just can't get enough politics or Ken Rudin, tune in to NPR's weekly podcast, It's All Politics. You'll find it at npr.org/politics.